Broadcasting from IndyUpMagazine.com and 620 WDAE AM, the sports animal in Tampa Bay, Florida.
With your hosts, Chris Cosenza and Scott Long.
It's time to Indy Up. It's August 15th, 2008. You're listening to the best poker podcast on the internet. Finally got an issue under our belt, Scott.
Yes, first issue's out.
Man. Beautiful thing.
Turned out really nice. Yeah. So we put a lot of effort into it, so it was nice to see it actually in our hands and be able to flip through it.
Yep. And it looked better than I thought it was going to look. You know, sometimes you think, all right, well, maybe once they reproduce it on the printer, it won't look as nice as it does on the computer screen, but it really just really popped off the page, and we were really happy with the final product.
And it's on its way to more than 30 locations around Florida. You can also look at it on our website at IndyUpMagazine.com with a cool little flippy little thing.
We still don't know what to call that thing. You call it the flippy book.
Flippy book sounds good. But you can actually read it as if you were, and you can even turn the sound on, and it sounds like you're turning pages, which is annoying as anything, but it's authentic.
Yeah, it's really cool. We get a lot of positive buzz about that thing. The other thing, too, is that if you want to, you know, print it out yourself or read it at your leisure, you know, there's also a thing where you can download the entire issue on your desktop and
That's true.
At it at your own leisure on your own Adobe PDF.
Yeah, I went to get all my little hairs trimmed this morning at that barber, and so, you know, he's got a big, huge coffee table there with a bunch of magazines that people drop off, you know, for, and it's usually like aviation magazines or car magazines, and I'm like, you know, I'll take a couple of anti-ups and leave it there for maybe some of the old folks that show up there want to read it, and I put it right on top of the highlights.
Awesome.
So, you know.
Little kids.
Something for the whole family now.
The little kids are going to pick up the highlights and go, Daddy, what's an inside straight draw? Very nice.
Or like my wife, well, what's a donk? I'm like, a donk is me, honey.
You know, hey, you know the highlights, you know, maybe we should, you know, adopt something from their magazine and do one of those like poker scenes where you have to find the presidents hidden in the...
yes.
Find the famous poker legends.
Very good
inside
idea.
This colorful photo. And win a pony.
Yeah, or and we need Doofus and Dandy or something like that. What are those guys called?
I don't know. You're insane.
Well, we had one bit of news that just didn't quite make it in the deadline, and a good tournament coming up.
It was good because, you know, speaking of the first issue, we had a letter in there from someone asking if there was a horse game being dealt in Florida or a horse tournament. And for that issue, we had to say, sadly, no.
Yeah, we would have loved to have seen a horse game going in Florida, but just not meant to be until now.
Until now. You know what? Our good friends down at Sarasota Kennel Club, One Eye Jack's Poker Room, Sam Minatello, the poker manager there, calls me up and says, hey, we're having a horse tournament. I was like, no way. That's awesome. So I got the information here. It's actually the first horse tournament ever held in Florida. Never, ever. So it's historic. It's historic. We're going to be there. At least you'll be there.
Yes, I'll be down there.
I'll try to get there, too, but I'm going to be doing something before that, too. So it's going to be horse, and it's going to be September 26th and 27th at 1 p.m. So far, your hero, Dewey Tomko, who's from the Winter Haven area, is committed to playing this.
Excellent. I'll be sporting my turtleneck when I'm down there.
And your earplugs. He always wears earplugs. So he's agreed to play. The buy-in is $450, and the field will be limited to 160 players because they're going to have eight players at a table, and that's how much room they can give it. But there are going to be satellites. I'm not sure what the cost of the satellites are going to be, so you have to look into that.
Probably less than the full price to buy in.
I think it would be less than $450.
That would be smart.
But they're also, and they're going to be no limit hold'em tournaments. He did tell me that. Obviously, not going to deal. It'd take forever to deal a horse satellite out, I think.
I guess. But that would be fun, though.
I know, but I agreed with it, though. They do that in Vegas for the World Series.
I guess it's like the original horse tournament, the World Series. You know, when they get down to the final table, they ought to play no limit hold'em. In this case, you got to play no limit hold'em to get into the horse tournament.
Starting chips for the main event will be $5,000 with an optional $20 dealer add on for 1,500 more chips. So the big thing is that the field is sold out, $20,000 for first place.
Not bad.
So that's pretty cool.
Not bad.
So it's weird. It's like asking, ye shall receive. Although Sam had no idea that letter was going to be in the magazine. He had this sort of clairvoyant sort of, he was tapped into to our magazine somehow.
And I hope he sells out too, because that's the thing is, these poker room managers take a big chance doing these alternative games. It's easy to run a no limit, hold them tournament. You know you're going to get the players for that.
Right.
But, you know, when they offer these other things, you know, if they offer, like, you know, a crazy pineapple day and people don't show up, then there's no incentive to do it again.
I'm going
to
go on record and say I think he sells it out.
All right. Very good.
I think there are enough decent players on this coast and in his room who enjoy mixed games and will take advantage of this. Plus, just the, you know, the newness of it. You know, of not not ever actually playing it live like this, you know, for a lot of these people who just want to experiment anyway. So I'm going to go on record. He's selling out. It's going to be a big success. And it's going to be the pros versus Joes again, just like it was before. So he's going to try to get other pros as well. So we'll keep you updated on that.
Yeah. He hasn't asked me to play yet, though. So.
Well, he's asked me, so no.
Oh.
No, I'm just kidding.
All right, so Chris, you know, a long time ago, we had a couple kids call us up and say, hey, you need to get on MySpace.
Yep.
And, you know, us old curmudgeon-y, crotchety people, we finally meandered our way onto MySpace, and it's been good for us. We met a lot of people that way.
Yep.
But got to say, Facebook, taking over the world now.
Yeah, you know, I don't know anything about the Facebook, so I think you and I have agreed that I'll continue with the MySpace. And you'll wrangle the Facebook.
Yes. So AnnieUp has its own fan page on Facebook now. Built it this week and got some friends going. And we got some events on there. I got Apes on there, which is coming up August 28th, 9 p.m. On Full Tilt Poker.
I think it's August 26th. Isn't it? No, it's August 28th. I don't know. I can't remember. Is it August 28th?
Go to the fanbook page on AnnieUp, and you'll know it. It's Thursday, August 28th at 9 p.m.
It's a good thing we have it. Otherwise, I wouldn't know when to play.
But do a little search on Facebook and find that. Become a friend, a fan of AnnieUp, and there's lots of good things you can do there. I mean, you can upload your own photos, and we'll use that to kind of communicate with the AnnieUp Nation, you know, for those people that can't wait the entire week until the next episode comes out.
All right, so you skipped along there. We weren't going to talk about apes just yet, but now we've already gotten all that info.
We threw it in there, and we messed it up already.
Did we say it was 5 plus 50?
5 plus 50, stud 8.
Password was Annie up. Did we say that already?
Yep.
I can't remember. Because I tune you out sometimes.
Yeah,
so.
Well, I know. Yeah.
So that's cool. I'm going to have to check out the Facebook page now. Maybe I'll join. Well, don't forget, we still have a MySpace page. People still doing that. You know, we still got some connections that way. We still met a lot of poker people that way, and... I have over 300 people on my MySpace page now, so I want to see how many you get in Facebook.
All right.
It'll be like a rivalry.
Yeah, I have a feeling Facebook's going to win.
Well, I'm a member
Go out on a limb and say Facebook is going to sell out.
I'm a member of a lot of the mafia wars and mobsters and stuff MySpace, so I might pick up some more friends soon, so we'll see.
All right. Well, but they're all going to have like Enzos at the end of them.
Enzos.
Or eyes.
Well, good luck with the Facebook project there, buddy. I hope it pays off. I hope it makes us rich somehow.
Well, we got to do something to be rich because the home game is not making me rich.
Yeah, what is wrong with
that? So we had a nice little rally there, so I only finished down just a couple chunks of change.
Yeah, I was up a bunch.
You were,
I loosened up at the end, gave you some money back because I felt bad because you're my business partner now.
Yeah, and then, of course, you know, you take your money and run like you always do.
Yeah,
you left early. And
I left 15 minutes early, and I had to go because I was going to dinner with my family.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, like you're going to take $100 off me in 15 minutes. I don't think so. I scored a win. You didn't. So I had this perfect line to use against you in the home game, and I didn't use it. I'll wait till next home
game. All right, next home game.
Which is this
I'll
Friday.
Look forward to it.
We're going to play this Friday at Gambit. So.
That's right. So.
But we had an amazing hand at that home game.
We did.
We have to bring up it. It, to me, it was like the most remarkable hand that's ever come down in our home game.
It's a live home game RCG issue.
Oh, man, it was unbelievable. So we're playing in the home game, and of course, Faso calls five-card stud. And I want to get your opinion on this, too, before we talk about the hand.
All right.
I think that in a home game now, we should, if we call five-card stud, four-card straights count as a straight, and four-card flushes count. Four-card flush will be to four-card straight. That way, more people will play, because otherwise, high card brings in, and nobody plays. The reason why I say this is because this is how the big game plays it. If they're going to play five-card stud, they play it that way. Because otherwise, no one plays. You have a deuce and you don't have a pair, you're folding. And almost everybody folds. The high card brings it in, or high card completes it, and then there's no action. You know, Faso likes to say there's a lot of big pots and stuff, but that's not really true.
It depends. If there's aces and kings out there, there's people playing. But you're right. Deuces aren't going to play. But
if you have 7-8 of hearts, you might play.
Well, yeah, but you can make it a four-card flush and hold them, too, and you can get more people to play.
But this is different. It's only five cards. That's the rule. Five-card stud was always played that way, where four-card straight or four-card flush actually counts.
Well, I said I think it'd get more action playing at no limit or pot limit or something like that.
Well, I think that's definitely... I don't agree with that at all. There's no way you're going to get more action no limit. If somebody has a pair of kings and they go all in, no one's going to call.
No, but if you have an ace... Yeah. And somebody else has an A's. That's the problem. In the limit, you're just like you're trading back, a small bet here and there and a big bet here and there. No limit. Then you got to put somebody to a test.
No limit.
You should like that. You like no limit.
No. Here's the thing.
Takes all the strategy out. You just go all in and you're done.
Faso always whines about no limit hold'em and how no one plays, everybody folds, and then occasionally you'll get a hand that's heads up and then whatever. He said, "Well, in five card stud, if you made that no limit, no one would play." But if you made it four card straight and a four card flush, a lot more people would play. And that's what I'm saying. So I think we need to do that.
Okay. All right. We'll float it. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see what they say. I mean, I know guys like Frank are going to want to do that. That's a great idea. It's an action game then. Anyway, I saw them talking about it on High Stakes.
Well, we should go like two card flushes then. That's a real action game there.
God. You're impossible.
I'm just saying, if you want to bastardize the rules.
That's not bastardized. That's an actual rule of the game.
That somebody bastardized long ago and now is accepted.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. Well, then from now on, we're going to play it like Queens are wild.
No, I'm just saying you can't say that it's not that's the way it's supposed to be played, because that's not the way it's supposed to be played.
Well, it is.
It might be a generally accepted way of playing now.
No, but it is. Oh, so but you can never poker make a flush is five cards for a flush. Cards. It's ridiculous.
Yes. That's the way. That's what Hoyle says.
Hoyle. According to Hoyle, you're a pain. All right, so anyway, this home game hand was just remarkable.
Yes.
I look down at 8-3 and fold. It gets to Fast, who has an 8.
You fold 8-3? Boy, you're so tight in that game.
I'm terrible. But if it was suited, yeah, I might have played.
Yeah, if it's two-card flush, you would have been in there.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
There you go. There's your thing. All right, so I look over, and Fast, who has an 8, and he calls the bring-in. And then Gambit has an ace showing.
Uh-huh. Right.
And he completes.
Of course.
So everyone else folds. It gets back to Fast, and he calls. So the turn... Now, this is where it gets a little hazy. The turn, I think, Faso gets an 8. All right, so he has a pair of 8s showing. And Gambit gets like a king.
King, yes.
Right? So it's ace-king showing versus a pair of 8s. So now Faso bets out, and Gambit, I think, calls or raises, but I can't remember.
I think there was a raise and then a call.
It might have been a raise and then a call. Faso gets an ace. And then Mark gets an ace.
Ace.
So now Mark has aces and a king showing, and Faso has eights and an ace showing. And this is five-card stud. There's only one card left.
See, it's an action game.
I think there was like a bet and a raise and a call or something, but it was insane. And the river was like nothing. But it turns out that Gambit had three aces, and Faso had three eights. He had an eight in the hole. So the case ace and the case eight came out on the turn, or on the... Yeah, I guess it would be the turn. On both hands. That was insane. 2 1-outers, basically, because he couldn't get another 8 because I had the 8.
Exactly.
I folded it. That was just an insane 5-card stud hand.
Well, and I was happy, too, because aces and 8s were involved, that there was no shooting, because it's tough to lose with trips at 5-card stud.
It's unbelievable.
Playing traditional poker rules, not Chris Cosenza's crazy...
crazy 4-card flush. That's where the term four flusher comes from. Four flusher.
Yeah, that came from Yahtzee.
Yeah, all right. So I was happy that Faso didn't lose it, too. He didn't throw any cards.
That's what I'm saying. Exactly. You would think there'd be fisticuffs.
But it was pretty wild. I could not believe just to see trips. And they both had trips in four cards. It was just insane. It was really, really a wild hand. I don't think you'll ever see anything like that ever again in our home game. Really.
No, but online you'll see it every day.
Well, speaking of online...
So, you know, the Bluff has this new PokerDB thing out.
Right.
That people
use.
Exactly. Right. And but I thought this caught my attention. I thought it was interesting. Is now, to subscribe, you can use your PokerStars money or your Full Tilt money.
That is pretty cool. Because you know what? Because a lot of people have money online, right?
Right.
And then they end up losing it and never get anything out of it.
That's
but now,
true.
If you have the money and you're like, you can pay for it, and then you get something for it. You know, a lot of people don't take their money off online. This way... You know, you get something out of it. Am I right?
That's true.
That's pretty cool. So what does this database really do? I mean, what can you do with it?
I knew you were going to ask me that. I think you need to transfer some money from your PokerStars account. And what's your account name again?
I'm not telling you.
Ah, shoot. All right. But, you know, and then you'll find out.
Well, I do know that. I think you can look up other people and how they do. And
I do believe it's a very popular service that Bluff offers, and so now you can transfer your money in. People do, I guess there's another one of those concerns that people have about online poker is it's, you know, this transferring back and forth and laundering in bad examples. Of course not. This is a legitimate commerce thing.
Right.
But you know, people trade money back and forth all the time. So now you just do it to get a legitimate product.
I agree. I think it's cool. I think that we need to start our own DB. And
DB.
Transfer your money to Will Hopper on Full Tilt Poker if you'd like to.
And if you prefer to transfer your money to Will Hopper on PokerStars, you transfer it to.
But at least you know. I just ignore you. But at least in this instance, you know, if you're going to transfer the money to me, you know I'm a person. Whereas now people are always worried about bots out there taking their money and stuff.
You know exactly. I mean? And, you know, particularly because of the big Polaris smackdown at the World Series this year with the stocks poker people. And so now there's a blogger out there, Andrew Smith, that said that because this Polaris shows the power of bots now and the artificial intelligence, that now he's wondering, opining, if you will, what probably a lot of people are thinking is now bots are really going to take over the online poker world. Remember, they were all the rage a couple years ago when we first started the show. People were like, oh, I don't want to play online. There's bots.
Bots, yeah.
And then I think people kind of like, yeah, there might be some, but generally the guy I'm check raising is some guy sitting at home in his underwear not paying attention. It's some bot.
Why is it every time someone is at home, they're always in the underwear?
Because it's hot. It's Florida. It's sticky.
Why do you always have to envision the guy at home in his underwear?
I didn't say that.
Can't he just be like in shorts or pajamas? Even so, why do they have to be in their underwear?
Well, it's because that's what makes the saying, because now you're at home where people can't see you, so you can wear whatever you want.
So when people can't see you, you automatically parade in your underwear?
No, I'm just saying you don't go to the local poker room and see somebody sitting in their underwear. You're just not going to see it.
You do in some of the bar leagues.
That very well could be, yes.
All right,
particularly towards closing time.
I'm just tired of you bringing up the underwear thing. It's just, it's not a pleasant visual, you know? But I can imagine people starting to get worried now. It's starting to get a little better with the bots.
Yeah, but there was a story on onlinecasinos.com where the founder and chief architect of the Polaris Poker Robot Research Team at the University of Alberta in Canada, Dr. Darce Billings. Maybe it's Darcy.
Darcy?
D-A-R-S-E. Darce. I like Darce. Darce. Sounds more manly.
May the force be with you.
But anyhow, he...
Luke, I am your father. Join the dark side of the bots.
And it says, Billings did not hold back in his response to the opinion, calling it, quote, ridiculous conclusion. It's ridiculous, Chris.
Well, it's not like anybody can save up to buy this software. The size, this thing's probably like, you know, Deep Blue for a chess. Probably costs millions of dollars. It's not like you're going to spend $1 million to win, what, $550 at the table? how much are you going to make? So,
well, he says a couple reasons. One, the program that he built only plays heads-up limit hold'em.
Which you still can find that, though.
You can find it, but it's not as popular as plenty of the other games you can play, you know, full ring games or heads-up no limit. And then he says, quote, secondly, it is not difficult to identify a known program. If you use the Fritz Chess program, and I'm sure... Fasso knows this. Mm-hmm. To play chess on an online server, it will be obvious to everyone. The same applies for poker. Since using programs is against the poker site's terms of use, if you do it, you will have your account closed permanently. And darn it, that's why it's never going to happen. Because everybody that plays online poker is just a slave to those terms of agreement. Last thing they want to do is have their account closed and then have to reopen it under a different name. But, you know, I'm not making fun of our good friend, Dr. Billings.
He's our good friend.
He is now.
We don't even know how to pronounce his name, and he's our good friend.
Well, hey, Dr. Darce. Billings.
Hey, Darce, buddy, old pal. Well, I hope he's in our friend, because maybe he'll give us his program, because I'll check out the terms and implement them. You know?
And they also mentioned this story, too, of course, that the big sites like PokerStars and Full Tilt have spent millions of dollars on sophisticated poker bot identification. Probably finding out, you know what, user code they got, so what rake back program they're using. But yeah, so, you know, again, I think people, this is the problem with the blogger journalist out there. I mean, they just throw things out there, which is great. That's what makes it fun, but.
But it's not legitimate.
Then they get smacked down by the academic community.
Okay, so if you want an account with Full Tilt, sign up with code BOT and get a $600 sign up bonus. All right, so we have a hotline clip today. Brought to you by the kind folks at DB Dealer Button, dbdealer.com. Pretty funny. You know what I like about it is that they make fun of you. So let's listen to that.
Yeah, I think you run the hotline because that's all the calls we get anymore.
Hey, Scott, this is Eric from Ohio, and Chris, I guess, too. But actually, Chris, this is more for you. The other day I was doing some work listening to the podcast, and I heard you railing on Scott about him not being able to write in cursive. And as an elementary school teacher, my 4-year-old, I can appreciate the cursive thing first. But my 4-year-old who's reading was writing something. She was writing in, obviously, print. She's 4. And my wife said something about trying to write like this and shows her cursive. And this sounds like you, Scott. She said, Daddy, Mommy, I can't write in those curlies. So, Scott, apparently you can print, but you just can't write in the curlies.
All right, so are you tired of getting made fun of because of your handwriting?
Because it's never ending. I was at the dentist the other day and filling out my new paperwork because, I'm no longer insured as head of household.
Right, right.
My wife is now head of household for insurance purposes.
She wears the pants
all
in the family.
Purposes, probably. So I had to sign my name, and the dental hygienist goes, wow. At least my husband, you can kind of sort of see the second name. And I'm like, no, there it is. And I pointed to that long line there that signifies long. And she's like, no, it doesn't work.
So now you're signing your name in hieroglyphics.
Yes, there we
saying.
Go.
Excellent,
yes.
Excellent.
Old. Super old school.
Super old school. Scott the Pharaoh. That's your nickname now. When you finally get your Poker Stars account,
make
yourself Scott the Pharaoh.
Scott the Pharaoh. All right, I'll work on that.
And you spell it D-A, so you're cool with the kids.
Ooh.
Scott the Pharaoh. You can even spell it F-A-R-O just to really throw them off.
That would really throw
Scott
them off.
Scott the Pharaoh.
All right, we'll keep those hotline calls coming. The number again is 813-448-1120.
And for sending that in, we are going to send you a nice deck of plastic playing cards by DB Dealer. So send us your address, and we'll get us in the mail you as soon as we can.
Greetings, this is Columbo from PokerWannabe.blogspot.com, and this is another 1-Minute Mystery, The Case of the Edge of the Knife. It's level 2 in a 2-table multi-table tournament. We have a far lower solid image than we are accustomed to and still have about an average stack size. We'll be on the button for this hand and have not played any big pots. Blinds are 50 and 100, and we have about 3,100 in chips.
Something is different about this case, but I'll get to the bottom of it. Don't you worry, sir.
It folds to the person in mid position, who makes it 350 to go.
It's just business as usual, sir.
It comes to me in the button, and I am expecting the blinds to fold. I decide it's early, and I am not afraid to call from position and hope to disguise the strength of my hand. So I make a call. After a short delay, the small blind raises to 600.
Hey, Lieutenant, maybe you should go play somewhere else, huh?
The big blind folds. The mid-position delays and folds. And now we're back at me with the ace of hearts and the king of diamonds. I'm going to request time here and think about it. So here it is. 1,400 in the pot, and the action is to me. It's 300 to call, and he has me covered.
How do you want to play this?
All right, Chris, you know what? I have no opinion. I'm the Switzerland of 1-Minute Mystery today.
You have any chocolate on you?
Maybe. It's hot chocolate.
Any so instant good. Cocoa?
You need a little pigtails to pry that from my hand.
They have a really nice bank account.
They don't do that anymore there.
No, they do the bank thing. So anyway, yeah, that's a good idea. I think that let them give us their opinions, and we'll work on it from there. So.
Yep, so go to our AntiUpMagazine.com forum and chat away.
Yes, that's AntiUpMagazine.com/forum.
And that's F-O-R-U-M, not P-H-O-R-U-M.
No, we're not that
as
cool.
As a pharaoh, we'd spell it.
We are not that cool. We are not that fat, P-H-A-T. Do you get enough? Poker, that is. Get in more playing time by buying her a gift card from Red Bamboo MediSpa in Northwood Plaza, Clearwater. Call 727-726-6100 or visit redbamboomedispa.com. The winning cards are gift cards from Red Bamboo MediSpa.
Hey, this is Hoyt Corkins, and I'm listening to Ante Up.
Okay. Okay, so this week I had a chance to talk to Jennifer Genocide Lee, who just recently signed with IronDuke.com, which is a poker site that accepts U.S. players. So it was for our magazine, but we thought we might as well play it today. So here's the interview, and it came just days after her 25th birthday. I read somewhere that you actually came up with your own nickname of Genocide, and you did it at the age of 12, and because it sounded dark and mysterious. I was kind of curious why a 12-year-old girl from Delaware would need to be dark and mysterious.
Well, I used to be involved with a lot of things in the computer industry, and actually that's how I've met a lot of people that I'm still friends with today. It's really funny, when I was back then, it was during when IRC was really, really hot. Like, they didn't have many other options. You know, IRC was a network for people to chat. And, you know, I started getting involved in, like, the computer hacking scene a little bit. You know, back then, it wasn't even that malicious. It was more just learning about different infrastructures. I was using Unix at the time, and this came up, like, the name Genocide. Everybody had different aliases, like my friend Sean Fanning, who has the name Napster. Well, Napster became not only his name on IRC, but also a program name that he made a lot of, actually made a huge thing in the computer world about. So,
right.
You know, it just came up. We were younger and we all came up with, like, these weird computer aliases.
Do you still consider yourself a gamer nerd?
Oh, my gosh. I still have times where I do play World of Warcraft. I will be competing most likely in another type of tournament, which is the MLG, which is the Major League of Pro Gaming.
Okay.
For World of Warcraft.
I think I read somewhere about that for you, too, where it said you had surpassed level 70. How big of a deal is that?
Well, it used to be a big deal, but now it's not that big of a deal, considering that they're going to be pumping it up to 80. And on top of that, they also have, they're also introducing, like, a bunch of other things, like an expansion called Wrath of the Lich King. So there's so much. I mean, I'm such a nerd. You know, ever considers me to be. They don't even know that I am as big of a nerd as I am, but it's really funny.
Well, speaking of being a nerd, last month I interviewed Evelyn Ng, fellow gamer nerd and one of your friends, of course. We chatted a little bit about how you had mentioned she'd be perfect for posing for Playboy, and when I talked to her about it, she said although she wouldn't dismiss the idea, it's not something she ever dreamed of. Was posing for Playboy, you know, a dream of yours, and did the FHM photo shoot kind of influence that?
No, actually none of that really influenced it. It wasn't something that I even considered before. The FHM photo shoot was probably, like, the worst thing that I had ever dreamt of in my entire life. It was an open shoot, so therefore it basically was in the middle of a casino with people around. Like, they didn't close it. It wasn't very professional, and I just was not happy at the situation at all. But the Playboy shoot was very, very professional. It was closed. It was done over, like, 3 or 4 days. But no, I actually had been speaking with Evelyn about it, and after the pictures came out from Playboy, she was like, I think I'd do it. You know, she's like, I just think I'd have those pictures just to have. And I think she'd be perfect for it. You know, I personally had stayed with her we used to travel a bit together, like, a few years ago. And she's just a very down-to-earth person, too, and also very nerdy.
Were you at all nervous doing the Playboy shoot? And is it something that you would do again in the future?
The Playboy shoot, I wasn't really that nervous because they made it so comfortable. I even had my mother on the shoot with me.
Oh, okay.
But I would probably do it again. I wouldn't do Hustler Penthouse or anything like that, but definitely like a Playboy style type thing.
Okay. Is it still true that your favorite movie is A Night at the Roxbury?
Yes.
What's the deal with that movie and you? Is it because you're such a bad dancer?
Yeah, well, I am a bad dancer, but... And I still do it anyway. It doesn't matter. But I definitely just love Will Ferrell. Any Will Ferrell movie I'm kind of all about. But I love movies in general.
Uh-huh.
But slapstick comedy like that usually gets my heart right away.
Okay, let's talk a little poker. You recently signed with IronDuke.com. It's a poker site that welcomes U.S. players. Can you tell me a little bit of how that came about, and what's IronDuke.com like?
Iron Geek's actually probably one of the best, better sites on the Merge network. Basically, you can deposit and have transactions for U.S. players. On top of that, they have so many games available, even Bazooki, and there's not many sites that actually have Bazooki.
Right.
And it's a site, too, that's growing. It's not a site that, you know, has any controversy. They are very, very strict about users, you know, and accounts and structures. You know, they have such a great management team that it is something that I could not, of course, like, turn my head to. And really, really good software. I really enjoy playing there, so...
What will you be doing for the site, aside from just playing on there? Will you be doing special tournaments?
Yeah, there are special tournaments once a week. They have a bounty tournament, which last week I lasted maybe about 5 minutes. But, no, they have this, like, you get a special ticket on my head for about, I think it's $60 entry fee to a tournament. The tournament's a $15 plus $150 tournament, and that's every Thursday night, plus... We're going to be implementing a chat room where they can, once a week or, you know, just a few hours a week, I'll be sitting there and actually able to answer questions to the people that, you know, want to chat and have a few things. And if, you know, they just want to flirt, that's fine. So I'm used to that.
That's awesome. So will you be exclusive to Iron Duke now, or are you still going to play in your other sites like the big championships and things like that?
So Iron Duke is certainly my home.
Okay, I read on your MySpace page that you were an ex-law school wannabe.
Yep.
So, all right, so given your new relationship with this online site and the Unlawful Internet Enforcement Gambling Act, I'd like to know what you think of that act and where you think American online poker stands now.
You know, it has just been more of a stick in poker players' side. It hasn't really deterred them from playing online, if you can see that. It's just one of those things where it just makes it a little bit more difficult to get money on and withdraw, like, withdrawal of money as well. So I think people... In legislation, they're going to see that it's really nothing that has prevented a lot of people from playing online, and hopefully it gets overturned or at least annulled soon, but we'll see. I mean, I'm just very hopeful about the situation. It was like a nightmare when I heard about it. I'm like, oh my gosh, back in 2006, I was just sweating. I'm really hoping that the legislation, if anything, just turns around for, and at least people start accepting, and in the legislation, at least they accept that poker is a game of skill, and, you know, people are still going to play whether or not there's legislation against it.
Right. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about some of your popularity. You were one of the players on Poker Royale Battle of the Ages on GSN a few years ago. How did you get invited to that, and what did you learn from that experience?
They actually wanted to, at that point, they wanted to validate whether or not I was actually a female. Hearing about an online female poker player was very rare back then. It was more of those things where they're like, that's definitely not really a female. So I had to go on, like, a video conference.
Wow.
Once they confirmed that I was a female, they sent me out to, San Diego, and we filmed for the Battle of Ages. The funniest thing is all of the under 26, or it was under 28, I'm sorry, under 28 are now, like, in their 30s now, and I'm still... under 28.
Right.
It's fun there. I did, I fared better than most, like, all of the younger players. I ended up with Miami John Cimito heads up, ended up beating him, and then Dan Harrington as well. It was a pretty good show. It was fun.
Now, you mentioned how you were so popular online, which is how it kind of led you to being on this show. And you've had some respectable caches live as well, you know, in the WPT events, and of course your PokerStars World Championship cache. So given that, you know, a lot of your experience is online, how do you explain being so popular worldwide?
I think it's just the female thing. It could also just be the youth in the female thing, and plus the fact that, you know, I always make myself available to fans. I don't necessarily send them out. You know, I always email them, and I'll always treat people the same way, you know.
Okay, I have to ask, what's your aversion to split pot games?
Oh, actually, that's starting to get a little bit better. That was when I actually first started playing, really. And I just hated getting quartered and getting scooped, and I was always going for highs. I was never looking at, like, the lows. So now I'm actually able to implement it. I've been playing a little bit of horse. So horses, you know, of course, you know, 8 or better has been getting a little, not so much of a deterrent for me, but it's good now.
Is there one that you prefer to play?
I actually love Raz. People laugh at me, but I like Raz.
Well, I got to tell you, that's going to make a lot of people happy, because I know that our rallying cry for our podcast is "Let's play Raz." So,
yeah, and you know, I love Raz. I really do.
Do you have any poker advice for anyone who'll be hearing this interview?
I think, if anything, a lot of people expect to be able to win. You know, you need to really actually have money to win, like a bankroll to win, because a lot of people really don't manage themselves right. And I've gotten that way myself. Is, you know, you need to really look at your bankroll as like a tool. Don't treat it like gambling. If you're going to treat it like gambling, then you're probably not going to win in the long run. So you have to take your time and pace yourself. And with anything in life, actually.
Right. Let's play a little word association. I'll mention someone very famous, and you tell me what the first thing comes to your mind. Jennifer Harmon.
Hard one. Charitable. She always has a good charities drawing.
Hugh Hefner.
Flyer.
How about Johnny Depp?
Johnny Depp, wow. That's just a wow right there.
Okay. Phil Ivey.
Phil Ivey. Intimidating.
Dutch Boyd.
Oh, he's goofy, I guess.
Okay, Will Ferrell.
Oh, hysterical.
Doyle Brunson.
Legendary.
And then the last one, Angelina Jolie.
Gorgeous.
I have a question about her now, too. Is she still your favorite female celebrity?
Yes.
Is it because of her humanitarian efforts?
Well, you can say that, I guess. No. Yeah. It's actually, no. It's just she's always been so beautiful, and she is one of the most beautiful women out there in the world, I think.
Okay. Do you consider yourself a role model for young girls?
I get a lot of that, actually. I get a lot of younger girls saying that, you know, they look up to me and my efforts and everything, but, I mean, I don't know how a card player can look to be a role model for younger girls, but I guess if they're interested in the gambling industry, then, you know, I could be, but I don't look at it like that. And that kind of, if anything, it's more flattering when somebody says that they look up to me, so it's really nice.
All right, and last question, what are your goals as a poker player and as a person?
My goals eventually one day are to have a successful career as well as settling down and having a family, which is the weirdest thing to say, but I guess I'm getting older. I'm getting 25 now, so.
Okay.
Kind of, that's something that I've always said I'd never have, is like a husband and children and all that stuff, but now it's kind of, I'm getting a little bit more sentimental about it.
All right, well, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me today. I really appreciate it.
Oh, thanks. It was great, Chris.
Want Rays news from real Rays fans? OutsPerSwing.com. OutsPerSwing.com has interviews, analysis, and all the breaking news for your Tampa Bay Rays. Are you looking for up-to-date news on the most exciting team in baseball? Check out OutsPerSwing.com. That's OutsPerSwing.com.
Hi, this is Clooney Gowan, and you're listening to Annie Up.
Today's Hand of the Week is once again brought to you by the Poker Whiz Wheel at PokerWhizWheel.com. 169 starting hold'em hand combinations, all in one easy-to-spin wheel that you can use right at your computer or at the table, Chris. And we're going to use it again today.
I love it.
To break down today's Hand of the Week.
It takes so much pressure off of me.
It does.
I love it.
Just spin the wheel and we know where we're going.
I'm going to grab like a pencil here in case I have to write some notes down. Yeah.
All right. Well,
here, give me one.
All right, thanks.
Okay.
All right, you ready?
Yeah, I am definitely ready for the hand of the week.
All right, so this week's hand comes from Nigel.
Nigel Down Under.
Down Under in Australia. And folks might know him from the Australian Traveler magazine. Very popular magazine, it sounds like, Down Under.
It does. I've seen a cover of it. It's very sweet.
Very nice, very nice. And you know what? Nigel, it is one of the coolest names. You know, if I could rename myself. I mean, I'm kind of comfortable, Scott. I'm not one of these people that, like, you know, wants to change the name. But if I had to change my name, I'm going with Nigel.
And that is because you think it's cool, or
Nigel? Think about it. How many names out there are as badass as Nigel? When you hear somebody called Nigel, you know, oh my god,
yeah,
Nigel. I think I've seen him crush a human with his bare hands.
I think of Clint, maybe Clint, Clint Eastwood?
No.
Dirk?
No. Nigel's the only definite badass name out there.
When I think of the name Nigel, I think of somebody with like a lot of leather on, you know, and like these big knuckles and like an earring and maybe bald, like a shaved head.
Of course, yeah.
Right? Sweating a little bit.
All right. With probably those royal poker eyewear sunglasses at the table.
And a cigarette that hangs on his mouth, but the ashes are precariously just about to flick off.
Yes.
And he's just really he's really mean. That's what I think of when I think of the name Nigel.
See, that's what I'm saying. Wouldn't you want to be named Nigel then when people have that, you know, when they get an email like, and that's exactly what they picture, even though it's me on the other side?
You see that email and you want to instantly respond back because you don't want to tick this guy off.
Exactly.
So that's why he's the hand of the week. We're
shaking our boots here.
He came in this morning and we're just like, we got to put this on the show today.
You know, I can't change my name, but you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to make Nigel my Australian name. Okay. You remember like, you know, a high school French class?
No.
They didn't want to call you by your normal Americanized name. They gave you like a French name.
No.
Of course, mine was Jacques, which has nothing to do with Scott, but sounded cool. Jacques. So see, this is what I'm going to do. When I'm in Australia now, people are just going to come up to me. I'm going to say, hi, I'm Nigel. That's going to be my Australian name.
I spoke a man's language in high school. I took Italian. So we had actual Italian versions for our first name. So,
but French is so much better. Je ne sais pas.
I was Cristoforo.
All right. We've blathered on enough here.
Well, the only thing is that if you do change your name to Nigel, I would be very interested in to see how you sign your name that way.
Oh, okay. I'll work on that.
Yeah. I want to see what that signature looks like.
Exactly.
All right. Go ahead.
All right. On to the hand of the week. Nigel sends in a hand, a dime quarter, no limit hold'em hand from Full Tilt Online.
Okay.
And let's see. The chip stacks here are anywhere from $4.90 up to $35.
Whoa. Big range.
Good range.
Yep.
All right. So our hero here is in the small blind. He posts the dime.
Okay.
Big blind's a quarter. And he is dealt king of spades, 10 of clubs.
Okay.
There is a under the gun folds, under the gun plus one calls, folded around to him in the small blind, and again, king of spades, 10 of clubs. According to Poker Whiz Wheel, that is called king 10 offsuit.
That is correct.
And that's a yellow hand.
Okay, so blue is good, green is a little less than good.
And then yellow's next.
Is right
it's
there.
Like the bronze medal of the colors.
It's like right in the middle. So I think it would say
60% strength.
It would say call. What does it say to do?
Call, yeah.
All right. So I think I would agree with the Poker Whiz Wheel and call. So I'm going to call. I have no problem calling an extra 15 cents there with just a big blind behind me. So I don't think the big blind's going to open up the action again. If he does, I can get away from it. And a person limping under the gun plus one. Yeah, it's only a quarter game, so I think that I would definitely call here.
Will tread carefully after the flop because we are out of position.
I'm totally out of position, and it's not a great hand, but it's probably something worth seeing the flop with. So I'd call.
All right, I'm with you.
What did he do?
He did.
He called, and what did the big blind do?
The big blind raises to $1.25. See?
Okay, well,
that's
like
exactly
said,
what you said wasn't going to happen.
No,
you lied to me.
I said...
You lied to the whole Anti-Up Nation.
No, I don't think. So I was telling the truth of what I thought. It was my opinion. And I said if he did that, I can get away from it. See, now in this instance, I would get away from it. Clearly, Nigel didn't. Otherwise, he wouldn't have sent it in.
Yeah, that'd be... Well, you know, we said we were going to use the hand week just because we're scared of him. So maybe it just ends right now.
Okay. Well, I would get away from it here. I think that I wouldn't... With King 10 out of position the rest of the way, I would just fold.
All right, so it's a pretty big raise, and the guy in the middle gets out of the way, so it comes back to us.
Yeah, I would get out of the way here. You're just going to get into trouble, usually. So I would get out of the way and just let him have the extra 15 cents that I put in and move on to the next hand when I have the buttons.
All right, I think that is the smart way to play. But since we're analyzing every possible contingency here...
That's right. But you're not saying Nigel's not smart, are you? Because he'd fly all the way over here and kick your butt.
Of course not. It would be a long flight, though. It would take him like a day. He'd have to go across the international date line.
And by then, you could be long gone.
Exactly.
You'd be in Mexico somewhere.
It would be Saturday. but no, I think this is what I'm thinking about, too, is that it's a pretty huge raise. I mean, that's like 5x.
Yeah.
With two players in, that sounds to me like it's a vulnerable hand.
Maybe.
Like a small pair.
Maybe. It's so hard to analyze online play, especially at these limits. And he may want you to think that, and you could have a monster. Some guys, they hate seeing their aces cracked and, you know what I mean, and just shove so much out there to make it, if you're going to call, I'm going to want to win a lot of money.
That's true.
So you never know anymore. But yeah, if I had to put the guy in a range of hands, which you can't really do, you never play with him before, and you know what I mean? But with that kind of a raise, yeah, I would say middle pair maybe, or maybe just like...
In which case, we'd be in a race, coin flip.
Yeah.
We'd have high cards, probably.
Yeah.
I guess it could be jacks.
But it could be anything, too. It could be ace-king, and it could be any kind of hand. So really, I have to see what happens.
So if I'm looking for a justification to call, that is what I'm...
Right.
That's what
it could be a middle pair, so let's see and feel out what happens afterward if I hit the flop.
Of course, the other problem, too, is our good friend Nigel only has 490 before this hand started. So.
Yeah, I mean, that's right there already.
So now you're almost committing yourself, right?
Yeah, that's like... Was he at 490 and $1.50 was a raise? Dollars, right?
Yes, $1.25 was a raise.
Yeah, so that's
now, like, of course, almost... his opponent started the hand with $5, so...
Yeah, but even so, that's like a 30-year stack. Do you want to call it a 30-year stack, like King-10 offsuit, out of position? See, again, we just need to fold here, but I'm assuming he calls.
He does call. And we go to a flop of 7 of diamonds, 9 of diamonds, 8 of hearts.
Now you're just on a draw, and you're just getting sucked in even more, and there's no way you're going to get the right pot odds.
So he flops an open-end and overcard.
Yeah, I don't think... We have two overcards and an open-ender, so I don't think that this is worth the hand that... To me, it doesn't seem like... I mean, even the implied odds, you're only going to get $4 out of it. You know what I mean? I don't know. I would
check.
Yeah,
exactly. That's a good point. I mean, the money behind is not very much. There's nobody else in the hand.
Yeah. I would just check, and if it's cheap enough, maybe call. But if he makes it like a dollar or whatever, forget it. I'm out of this hand. I'm out of this hand already anyway, just for the record. So I was out of it before the flop. So I wouldn't have seen this flop and not gotten in trouble. So, all right. So what happens? I'm sure we... Oh, he may bet, though. He's Nigel. He's tough.
He's tough.
He might
exactly. He's
up.
Got an image to uphold that he doesn't even realize he has until after listening to the podcast now. Now he's going to have to go out and be tougher.
So I bet you he bets out now because he's Nigel.
No, he just checks.
He did check. All
which
right.
is smart. All right. And then, but our opponent, of course, does not want us to get a free card to see this straight.
No.
So he bets $1.50.
Yeah, see, there's no way you can call that. You either have to shove here or fold. You can't call that. You just can't. I mean, you're already... committed to a 30-year stack. Now you have $3 left, maybe a little more than three. So that's half your stack on a draw. And then if you're going to do it, you want to see both cards then. So you might as well shove. So either shove or fold here.
And of course, the other thing too is the range of our hands, we put most likely on a smaller pair. So he could have hit a set here.
I
guess doesn't matter because then you're just drawing your straight anyhow. But it'd be nice to have that king still in reserve.
If you're figuring the outs out and you're thinking the king of the 10 might be good.
Yep.
But now it might not be because somebody could have a set. And even if you make your hand on the turn, you could still be losing on the river to a boat if he fills up. So I just don't like this, and I don't like the amount of money that we're going to have to invest. We're not going to get anything hardly out of it anyway except $2 more.
Yeah, so. The other problem here is you can't check raise because you're going to have to push all in, and the other guy is so short stacked now, too, that he's probably going to call, so you have no leverage anymore.
Yeah, it'd be too much money in the pot. He couldn't fold anyway. So I just don't like this hand all the way from the beginning as far as getting involved in it. You know, I think the way he played it was right up to the call. I'm assuming he calls here.
He does call.
Yeah.
And the turn is the queen of clubs.
Yeah. I mean, again, what are you going to do? Check again? He can't shove. He's going to call.
Yeah. So this time he goes check, though.
Oh, you got a free card in the river.
Yep.
All right. So, I mean.
And we can eliminate now all the sets out there because there's no way a set's going to let him
check again. All right. So then what's the river?
All right. So the river now is the king of hearts. You saw that coming, right?
Yeah.
So now we've got something to play with here.
He could have a king in his hand. That's the thing. But if you're up against a pair of queens, he would have bet. If you're up against a set, he would have bet.
Yep.
You think. So, and you're up against a straight, he might have slow played it.
So, unless it's a smaller pair or just air.
But I still would check. I'd be comfortable checking here and taking the pot down if he checks behind. And if he bets, if he shoves, then it's a decision you have to make. Do you want to really call it all off with one pair? But there's no flush, right?
No.
What was the queen?
Queen was a club.
It was a club, yeah. So, there's no flush.
Yeah, no flush. So, check and hope for the best.
I think I would check and be happy to take the pot down if he checks behind, and if he bets out, really, really make a decision on whether or not you want to lose that money or not.
Okay. Nigel being the tough guy now.
No, he bets out.
Pushes all in for his final 215. Mm.
You're going to get a call there, right?
Of course. The opponent can't let down, so he calls. We, of course, show our king of spades, ten of clubs for a pair of kings. Our opponent shows.
King jack?
Maybe.
Ace king?
Ace king sounds probably more likely. Mostly because I'm looking at
the
cheat sheet and it's an ace king.
Yeah, when at the end when the guy called and he checked the check on the turn told me
it tells you a lot
big cards
because it's either it's either big cards or it's a little pair.
Yeah,
that's the only thing it could be at that point.
Yeah, so that was the other thing too. You get in trouble with because that's why he raised with ace king because he wanted to thin the field in the beginning and that was how he played ace king. He'd do the continuation bet and check on the turn when he didn't get there and he had position and on the river he got there and. Had to call $2. See, if you had a lot of money, or if he had a lot of money, you both had a lot of money, you could have gotten him off the hand, I still think. But you would have played it differently. So, Yeah, I think a good lesson here is, you know, if you don't have a quality hand, you're going to lose like that in that situation, and you don't really want to lose all your money on one pair with a bad kicker. So I would have gotten out of that hand preflop.
Good advice.
But yeah, but it was a good hand, and you know, that's what the show's about too, is about learning or at least hearing different opinions on how to play things. You know, next time you're in a small blind out of position, somebody raises behind you, and you have an offsuit king, you might want to consider folding and just moving on. You would have lost 15 cents on that hand instead of, you know, your whole stack. So that's, you know, I mean, I know you could bust somebody, but really, do you want to bust somebody with $5? You know what I'm saying? You know? So it's really just a lesson to learn there.
All right. Well, the good news, Nigel, is you lost a hand, but you won a Poker Whiz Wheel from the good friends at PokerWhizWheel.com. And you were also nice enough to send us your address in advance, so we don't need to hound you to send that Poker Whiz Wheel out. So it's coming all the way to Australia.
Our first international mailing.
Exactly.
That's pretty awesome. Yeah, we're going to have to talk about that after the show. we don't want to commit to too many international mailings.
Absolutely.
Our limited budget.
We'll find a way to do it.
I'm Chris Cosenza.
And I'm Scott Long.
And we'll see you at the tables. Annie Up is a production of AnnieUpMagazine.com and is recorded at WDAE 620 AM in Tampa. Contact us at podcast@AnnieUpMagazine.com or call our hotline at 813-448-1120. If you'd like to advertise, send us an email at advertising@AnnieUpMagazine.com or call 727-331-4335. Some music used in this episode comes courtesy of the PodSafe Music Network.
Okay, George W. Bush.
Not about, that doesn't even, I don't even want to.
Okay, but it's not supposed to be painful, so.